The reading for today is from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 7. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not the good that I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. St. Paul says here, I delight in the law of God. Now that may sound a little strange to Lutherans who are accustomed to speaking about the accusations and the curses of the law. And can we delight in the law with all of its demands? Was St. Paul a good Lutheran? Or it would be better to say, was Luther a good Pauline scholar? I'm not going to say any more about Luther this morning, or about whether he was a good student of Paul, because I think you know the answer to that if you've carefully studied his preface to the Romans and the large catechism and the commentary on Galatians and the countless passages of the great reformer that are pertinent to this topic. But the homily this morning is about Paul and his delight in the law. We want to understand that delight better. It is a delight that grows out of love for the Savior who has reconciled the lost sinner to himself and to his Father. In deep thankfulness, the redeemed person wants to please this great Redeemer and to serve him with obedience to his law. And yet we know very well that there's another part of us which does not want to obey and is filled with rebellious urges to do the opposite. Paul knows this and calls it another kind of law and grieves over the shameful dissonance and warfare within himself, which we see and feel in us also. Again and again, the believer finds it true. I do not do the good that I want, but the evil that I do not want is what I keep on doing. Another way it has been put is to say that our obedience is like the old car that the teenager was driving, which he called a spurt model. A spurt model. He meant it runs in spurts, sometimes starting and running, sometimes not. Sometimes faithful, sometimes breaking down and failing. We may think that we're going to leave sin behind, but if we do, it will be around the corner, laughing at us, very much alive. So St. Paul knew that there was and is a way out of this wretched discouragement about the law that the Christian's delight in the law needs to be revived by getting a bigger picture of God and his ways of dealing with sinners oppressed by the law. Some believers and church members have not gotten much farther than the picture of God held by the little boy in Sunday school who was asked to tell who he thought God is. And not being too bright, he answered, "God is the sort of person who's always snooping around to see if anybody is having a good time, and then he wants to stop it." Paul wants to lead the Romans and us and that little boy to know God better. God does not hate sin only because we're having too good a time with it, although I'm afraid we do. But he hates sin because it is utterly contrary to his own nature and on which his holy law and will are based. He hates sin for all the trouble and misery that it brings to us after the good times are over. And we know what they are: punishments, the angry quarrels, the murders, the shattered lives, broken families, hurt and harm everywhere, and on through the endless list. God hates sin because of all that is often missing in the lives of people: love, mercy, help for the neighbor, and so on. So what has the Lord done for us in regard to all this? God the Father has so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son to suffer the punishments earned by the sinners and to bring them pardon and acceptance with himself and eternal life and joy. And that's not all. Divine love has provided for the spiritual restoration of the fallen creatures. The Lord, who commanded us to be holy as he is holy, also calls himself the Lord who makes us holy. The Savior helps and restores those who are justified through faith in him by bestowing his Holy Spirit upon us to dwell in us in the midst of all this struggle with the sinful flesh and to build us up in that holiness, one victory at a time, as long as we need his holy breath blowing upon our spirits. He knows our discouragements and our needs. St. Paul goes on in the next chapter of Romans, chapter 8, to speak about these truths of the larger picture of God, which he wants Christians like himself to contemplate and to glory in as they live out their struggle with the sinful flesh. Christ the Lord has made an atonement for sin and has provided for gracious restoration in the new life by bringing the Spirit of life to set our minds on the righteousness of God and to walk in its paths. But the flesh is not yet dead and gone, and the struggle goes on. I think of the incident of the man who had to take his three-year-old son out of the morning worship service because he was misbehaving. And he said to him, "Why are you acting like this? Why are you doing what we tell you not to do?" He didn't really expect the little boy to have much of an answer to that, but he was surprised at the answer he got. "Daddy, I don't want to be bad, but I do. I want to do good, but I don't." The father was so struck to hear his son talking like St. Paul that he couldn't go on with any reprimand. He just said, "Yes, son, you're right. Now let's go back in there and hear how Jesus forgives our sins and ask him for help to do better. We've had two stories this morning about little boys in church. Both of these stories are true, and they really happened. And both of those boys had some mixed up understanding about God and our relationship to him. But this one here, the last one that I mentioned, had a little better insight into the truth of the matter. And in his own way, he was a better little theologian than the other boy. The regenerated new self can delight in the law of God in the way that God wants a child of his to live who has been lovingly adopted into his family. This is a delight in the law of God, because the new self is reconciled with God and wants to do battle with the sinful flesh, which remains in us and disagrees with the holy will of God and keeps rebelling against it. It's a delight to be led into the mind of Christ and to begin to get a glimpse of how good and beautiful are the things that Christ wants. It is a delight that includes the sheer joy of knowing that the loving Lord who wants to restore us and renew us is in us to forgive the downfalls and to assist in the daily struggle. It is a delight because of the holy desires that the Spirit of Christ stirs up within us. There was a converted heathen who once came to a missionary and told him of something that troubled him to tears. "How is this?" he asked. "When I was yet a heathen, I had only one heart, a black one. Now that I am a Christian, I feel that I have two hearts, one black and one white. The white heart says, 'Go and pray.' The black heart says, 'No, you don't have any time for it.' The white one says, 'Go to church.' And the black one says, 'Stay home and take it easy.' The white heart says, 'Love your enemy.' The black heart says, 'You should hate his guts.' And so it keeps on, the black heart and the white heart always striving with each other, and they never are of one mind." The missionary responded, "Let the strife go on, and don't be uneasy about that. Since you have these two hearts, you may be sure that you are a Christian, because the unbeliever only has one. But strive, keep on striving, but strive so that the white heart always gains the victory. Then all will be right, and in the end, you will receive the crown of life. When you have eternal life with God, with Jesus, then the black heart will have disappeared forever, and you will always delight in the law of God. We look forward to that. Amen." Now, please rise if you are able and join in singing hymn 707.